Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com. Coming to you guys on a Friday, a couple of days away from the AFC Championship game. Kind of hard to believe the playoffs are nearly over, even with the extra week, extra game this season. So really a different feeling this time of year. Usually kind of we know who the Super Bowl matchup is by now, but still won't have to wait too long for that. Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday. Of course, if you guys have been following along with us all week long, fullpresscoverage.com and fullpresscoverage.com/Chiefs. We've had a great time covering this game going into it. Some of the key matchups, the key headlines to keep in mind as well. So we're going to be diving into those a little bit more today, throughout both sides of the ball for each team. And I really think this is, kind of like I said, going back to the matchup late December, these two teams are actually, I think, built fairly similarly, at least in many more areas than what people may think. Of course, this is, two of my favorite, quarterbacks to watch. I kind of mentioned that on the last episode. I mean, it's going to be a weekend, this, conference championship week, that getting to watch personally some of my favorite quarterbacks in the league just from a stylistic perspective and how they go about their business. But in this particular matchup, I think there's actually a lot more similarities between these two quarterbacks than what some people realize. I think just the understanding of kind of coverages and angles and everything that these guys do from an anticipation standpoint and from a release standpoint with their throwing mechanics may not look exactly the same, but they really do kind of work to make everything work as quick as possible. And I think you look at the decision-making side of things. I mean, Patrick Mahomes obviously has improved greatly this season after a tough start. And Joe Burrow, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, made him a shoe-in for the number one pick in 2020. So I think when you look at these two quarterbacks, it obviously starts with them and kind of just the confidence and belief that not only they have in themselves, but their entire team. I mean, we saw it for Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes in the divisional round against the Buffalo Bills. 13 seconds left. Looked like, you know, it's going to be tough to get into field goal range, but this team was able to come back and do that, tie the game up, send it to overtime, and win it. So that's kind of the biggest thing is these two quarterbacks, part of the reason they're playing against each other right now in this AFC Championship game, the confidence that they have in themselves, the confidence they give to their other teammates, and some of the trust they've grown, you know, in certain guys throughout the season has only made their offenses and teams' chances better. So those two things, obviously not everything picture perfect between the two of them, but there's a lot of things these two do very similarly. And of course, I wrote kind of back in the regular season going into the Chiefs-Bengals matchup in Cincinnati that Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, to me, I think could be the next great AFC quarterback rivalry. I know Mahomes, Herbert's an easy one to point to because they're in the same division. Mahomes and Josh Allen, I mean, it's hard not to look at that one either after the playoff game. We just saw one of the best playoff games that I can remember. But I do think there's just something different about Burrow and just what he's been able to overcome and how quickly he's changed Cincinnati, that maybe there's not the exact same thing possibly with a Justin Herbert or a Josh Allen. Again, Josh Allen, we kind of talked about it last week. I think he's the perfect kind of player and guy for that Buffalo squad right now. But in terms of just the advancement and the progression of his game, Joe Burrow, you know, wise beyond his years. But you look at some other areas, I think, where these two teams are very similar. I think in terms of how they want to play as a secondary. Now, the Chiefs obviously struggled in the secondary the first matchup this year against the Bengals. A lot of miscommunication, missed tackles, which, you know, wasn't just an issue with the secondary, but a lot of missed assignments and sometimes, you know, being too physical. Of course, that cost the Chiefs last year in the Super Bowl, and that was a game again this year against the Bengals where physicality and everything the Chiefs were trying to do with the line of scrimmage or against receivers in space just wasn't working in their favor. And you look at the Bengals, they've really built a well-diverse secondary, a lot of guys that either, you know, were cast-offs or flameouts from other programs. You look at, you know, he's kind of weighed down on the depth chart, but a Vernon Hargraves III, you know, bounced around, former first-round pick out of Florida with Tampa Bay Buccaneers and, you know, was with the Houston Texans the last few seasons. He's now, you know, a depth piece for them. You look at Eli Apple, who's had a great season, all things considered. Of course, struggled, you know, first-round pick as well. Young player when he entered the league with the New York Giants, was with New Orleans, struggled with penalties there. A lot of explosive plays given up by him. But you look at what he's been able to do in Cincinnati, and it's him kind of finding his footing and, you know, really starting to show better situational awareness and finding the football quicker. So there's a lot of guys in the secondary for the Bengals that, you know, untapped potential has always been there. It's taken a while for some guys to really find it. Trey Flowers, another guy that has really kind of been a necessary piece for them in the depth role that he's had during this playoff run. So, you know, this is a really impressive group considering they lost William Jackson III last offseason in free agency to the Washington football team. And just a group that I think a lot of people just don't realize how much of an effect they're really having right now for their defense, because a lot of it goes towards, you know, guys like Sam Hubbard, Trey Hendrickson, even linebackers are getting a lot, I think, more attention, Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt. But this is a deep secondary, very physical when they want to be, and they really showed off, obviously, some great instincts and ball skills last week against the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, it is a different animal going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Andy Reid offense, but this is definitely a group that kind of can impose their will when they want to. Obviously, I don't think the Chiefs secondary has quite the same depth, but I think the way in which they play, the play style is very similar between these two teams. And I think one other thing that's very similar right now between these two teams, of course, the pass catching group. It kind of took a while for the Chiefs to get there this season and see that depth kind of produce at a better rate than they were earlier in the year. Byron Pringle, I mean, he's having a great postseason, let alone, you know, last 2 months. And you look at Mecole Hardman, we've said it the last 2 weeks, probably enjoying the best stretch he's had in his career as a Kansas City Chief so far. You know, he continues to get in the end zone in the playoffs, did it last week. I just think there's so many things that they're doing right now that is, you know, making the Chiefs even more dangerous. They're a lot more versatile when guys like that are producing. You know, they don't always have to lean on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So that's a big thing for Patrick Mahomes in this offense. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, looks to be, you know, just about a week or so away from getting Offensive Rookie of the Year. This is a guy, of course, opted out last season at LSU, was still always going to probably be one of the first wide receivers taken in the 2021 NFL draft. But, you know, preseason, training camp, he really struggled with drops. And then, you know, right when the regular season hit, he's been one of the best receivers ever since. Went through some dry spells for sure in terms of production, but for the most part, a spectacular season. And you just look at some other guys, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, those are guys that have been producing for the Bengals now even longer. But they're guys right now that I just think you still don't know the exact thing that you're going to get from them. And I think that's a good thing for a quarterback like Joe Burrow, who's always going to be one of the more accurate passers in the league. And talking about more depth guys that are coming through, you look at tight end CJ Uzama, who I mentioned in Friday's article, our final headlines and X Factors article that I'll talk more about at the end of the show. But he's a guy that not really just a security blanket for this team, but Joe Burrow's really trusted in him to kind of make some tougher catches in space, especially in the red zone. So he's become a more dangerous target when you get onto the opponent's side of the 50 if you're Cincinnati. So the depth of the pass catching group right now, both teams are really kind of coming through in that regard at the right time. So I think, like I said, these two teams, I think, built very similarly. It's not, you know, 100% picture perfect or exact replica on either side, but I think you look at the way these teams are able to win and the way they kind of produce when they're writing on their A game, it's really pretty similar. And I think, you know, just the fact that these teams have shown they can win in different situations and win games in multiple ways, it's making for a really exciting matchup. Like I said, you know, not just for Mahomes Burrow, but this could be really a matchup we see in the postseason for many years to come, coming in the near future. So that's kind of just the opening that stands out to me, is how these two teams are built, how they win. But let's kind of move into some top headlines for me. And of course, we have to kind of start with the Bengals offense, in my mind. Last week gave up 9 sacks to the Tennessee Titans. And of course, the offensive line, it's definitely been one of the worst in the league the last couple of years. I will say, you know, times this season when Jackson Tarman was playing, he surprised me in a good way, a rookie out of Clemson when he was healthy, but hasn't been playing the last handful of games, of course. But you look at guys like, I think, a Trey Hopkins at center, guys like Quentin Spain, who's a veteran at left guard. Those are guys that I think have made incremental improvements as the season has gone on. Not always, you know, going to keep playing at that same level, but those are two guys that can kind of play nasty if they want to. I think they have a little bit more you know, impressive movement skills and maybe what you would imagine for guys of their size. But left tackle Jonah Williams, no doubt about it, the best offensive lineman of this group. But even he, you know, is got to perform better if this team wants to win on Sunday and get to where they want to be, you know, in the near future with Joe Burrow. But on the right side of the offensive line, Akeem Adeniji, right guard, and then right tackle Isaiah Prince. Those are two guys really, really struggled last week. There was times where Titans were getting, you know, free rushes without getting a hand laid on them last week. So that's kind of a side of the line where we've seen Melvin Ingram align most of the time in recent weeks. So for an explosive guy and a quick first step like Melvin Ingram has, that's going to be something to watch and see, you know, if they try to double team them or if more confusion and missed assignments are going to occur. Now, Joe Burrow, as good as he is at, you know, diagnosing pressure, kind of getting his hot read quickly, even he kind of looked a little rattled or a little thrown off and confused by some of the blitzes that Tennessee was able to get home, or just the pressure they were able to create, you know, kind of untouched. So we know Steve Spagnuolo, one of the best in the league at creating blitzes. He's not afraid to use anybody on the depth chart. So I would not be surprised if we see once in a while a defensive back blitz, you know, get a little more speed in there against Joe Burrow, a guy who navigates the pocket subtly but does it very well. So I would not be surprised to see a good handful maybe of a defensive back blitzes in this game, depending on the situation and the game flow and game script. So it is going to be interesting. After giving up 9 sacks last week, you have a Chiefs pass rush that was mostly non-existent last week, of course, going up against a tough and more challenging Buffalo offensive line. But other than Melvin Ingram early and Jaron Reed, of course, had a late sack, but there was a lot of times where Chris Jones, you know, was kind of taken out of the play, and Frank Clark really did a lot of his damage run defending last week. So the opportunity is definitely there, and if the Chiefs are able to get home, or Steve Spagnuolo is able to kind of get deep into his bag of tricks, and I think you know, perform the way that I think a lot of people expect them to in this kind of opportunity or matchup, I think this is obviously a chance for the Chiefs to kind of throw a knockout punch pretty early. Again, you never want to count out Joe Burrow, because how quickly he can hit on explosive plays and how quickly they can light up the scoreboard. The Chiefs saw that in their first meeting with them in Cincinnati this year. But there's something about this offensive line, and I think just the Chiefs knowing that they can, I think, win with 4. They may not even have to use those bag of tricks or extra pressure in Steve Spagnuolo's basket if they really don't believe they need to. Especially, I think, when you talk about the deep pass catching group of Cincinnati, be interesting to see how much, if at all, Steve Spagnuolo brings extra pressure, or if he continues to, you know, kind of flood the field and drop guys into coverage. So that's kind of the first thing, is will the Bengals be able to protect Joe Burrow? Will he be as rattled as he was last week, or maybe confused by maybe some disguised looks or pressure that, you know, maybe he didn't diagnose as well as we've seen him do in the past? So be interesting to see how the Chiefs pass rush responds after a tough matchup last week in Buffalo. Much greater opportunity here, but will they be able to get home and come through, or will the Bengals offensive line surprise? I think moving now to the Chiefs offense versus the Bengals defense, one thing that I'm really interested to watch in this game is kind of see how the Bengals go about defending Travis Kelce. And of course, Jesse Bates is a safety that may not be still as well known to most casual NFL fans, but one of the better young safeties in the league, drafted, I believe, third round a few years ago out of Wake Forest. And he's kind of a guy that always had a great amount of range to his game, kind of able to read plays well, and I think just diagnose, play speed at a rate where everything kind of slows down for him. So for Jesse Bates, it'll be interesting to see if he's going to be given a lot of the assignments against Travis Kelce, or if it's going to be linebackers Jermaine Pratt or Logan Wilson, who we mentioned a little bit earlier, who, I mean, they've really improved this season. They're both having some pretty good stretches in the playoffs. You look at Logan Wilson, a second-year guy out of Wyoming, who's very instinctive. I mean, that was definitely the top trait for him was football IQ and his recognition skills coming out of Wyoming. But I think just more comfort and speed that he's shown when especially covering passes and dropping back into coverage, that's something that's really stood out from him. But you look at Jermaine Pratt, been able to kind of be in position more to make plays, and that's something that in the past he was always sometimes a little bit slower reacting, but even he has improved, I think, in just how he's playing the pass. So I don't know which one exactly covers Travis Kelce, but we know the Chiefs will kind of move him around the line of scrimmage as well. Patrick Mahomes last week did not even attempt a single deep pass, meaning 20 plus air yards on the throw. Everything was basically short to intermediate passing game. So if the Chiefs kind of go that route again, especially with Travis Kelce, I think we could definitely see a lot more of the linebackers of Cincinnati being forced to make plays. So I don't know if we'll ever see Jesse Bates necessarily drop down closer to the box or closer to the line of scrimmage. Definitely not something that I think the Bengals are comfortable in doing for a guy that stays over the top so well and can kind of play on the roof of the defense and be that kind of cover. But I think there's something that they're maybe not afraid to attempt in this game when knowing you have to eventually, take away the Chiefs' best weapons when they've scored as quickly as they have in the last two playoff games. So seeing how they cover Travis Kelce, I think we'll see mostly the linebackers. But again, don't be surprised to see maybe Jesse Bates get put into some positions that we don't routinely see him in for Cincinnati. So going back to the Bengals offense now versus the Chiefs defense, one thing I kind of talked about in Friday's article again is what kind of pace will the Bengals offense play with? Because again, we know they can play with tempo. They can hit on explosive passes routinely down the field in the deeper areas. We saw that first time against the Chiefs. And really Joe Burrow, like I said, he's one of the better quarterbacks when it comes to accuracy of among the younger passers in the game. Like I said, great anticipation, great timing. I think this is going to be kind of interesting to see, how Bengals start this game offensively. Last week with the Bills, of course, they kind of ran it earlier before kind of, throwing it deeper down the field. So they really kind of progressed from working kind of small and growing big. But the Bengals, I don't think, are going to be maybe too afraid to start big in this one. So will Steve Spagnuolo continue to play man coverage, or will he disguise the looks a little more, knowing, how much Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase torched him the first time this year? So what kind of pace will they have? Will they play with that tempo? Will they go for the big plays early? Will they be willing to kind of dink and dunk it? And with Joe Burrow, he has kind of the patience and I think the maturity, of course, to be willing to do that, throw to the flats, throw to, the middle of the field and have confidence that it's going to work. But I think Joe Mixon is really the wild card in this one for me, because a little bit better game for him against the Titans than it was against the Raiders so far in this postseason run for him, and still one of the better running backs in the league. But obviously in this Joe Burrow era, a guy that, not always going to get the same amount of touches consistently. So he's had to kind of grow as a pass catcher, and I think he's done a good job of that. Definitely a patient runner, a guy that has great field vision, is able to kind of make defenders miss in different ways, whether it's just with, running through contact or really kind of using his upper body strength rather than his lower body strength to kind of stave off opposing tacklers. So Joe Mixon's kind of the wild card to me, and seeing what the Bengals' pace is going to look like in this game. And of course, you know, kind of depends how much success the Chiefs offense is having too. But, you know, will they kind of go the Mixon route and kind of try to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline as much as they can, work very methodically and deliberately? Or, you know, will they try to use kind of what they did one things got working against the Chiefs the first time this year and kind of work on that intermediate to deep passing game and kind of be relentless with it? I mean, like we said, I think the Bengals can win in multiple ways. So I don't think they're really going to be, you know, necessarily thrown off either way. As long as the game's still close, I don't think there's really, you know, any, you know, less confidence that they have in either decision there with the running game or the passing game. But seeing what kind of pace they start with, is going to be interesting because, again, either you keep Mahomes on the sideline as long as you can with methodical drives, or, you know, you kind of try to play a high scoring affair like we saw last week and force the Chiefs to be perfect again offensively, which, you know, they've been pretty much near that level the last two playoff games. But I think it's interesting knowing that you have to score a lot of points. You know, Chiefs have scored 42 each of the two playoff games so far this postseason. They've averaged 36.5 points per game in home playoff games so far with Patrick Mahomes. So it's pretty easy to kind of look back at what Mahomes has done in the playoffs and know that, you know, he can kind of strike quickly. Will the Bengals want to do that, or, you know, will they work more deliberately? So that'll be interesting to watch, especially out of the gate from the Bengals offense. Going back to Chiefs offense versus the Bengals D, another thing that I think you obviously had to watch as well, the running game. We know Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, those were the two top running backs last week. It kind of looks like we'll see the same thing again, not just because the success McKinnon's had. I mean, it's hard to deny him reps right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire also returned to the lineup last week with a bang, but Darrell Williams, full practice on Wednesday, downgraded to limited on Thursday. And it's just tough to see for a guy that always, you know, capitalized pretty much on all his opportunities, worked his way up the ladder in the Chiefs program, produced his first career 1,000-yard scrimmage, 1,000 yards from scrimmage season. And, you know, unfortunately, that toe injury he suffered in the regular season finale has kept him for the most part out of the postseason. So it's tough not to see Darrell Williams, and it's a position where, you know, so many guys can come in and step in and have a lot of success right away. But it is going to be a little tough knowing that Darrell Williams, you know, this is kind of a matchup that he thrived in earlier in the year, arguably one of the best games of his career, both pass catching and running. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of different pace or speed, you know, how that is going to change the Bengals defense, you know, seeing a little bit different players at the running back position than what they saw the first time. Jerick McKinnon, of course, a lot more explosive, a lot more speed, but still can bring a lot of contact and power with them. And you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chiefs have kind of been saving some run play calls, it looks like, with him from what we saw last week. A lot of times where they kind of motion in the Y receiver or the Y player in the formation, kind of make it a tighter alignment. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, kind of starts running from the inside and bounces it out quickly. So we saw a little bit of similar stuff to that for Clyde early in the season, but I think this is kind of what you have to do for him to give him, you know, the best chance to succeed in the running game. And a guy that doesn't have the long speed, struggled sometimes with seeing the opening in the open field, and you know, sometimes not bouncing it to the area of the field that he needs to at times. So really interesting to see, you know, that you know, not the same running back that the Bengals face the first time this year, how they'll respond to that. And of course, what kind of times they'll try to do, you know, to maybe stack the box, stack the line of scrimmage a little more, to maybe take away those opportunities for Clyde or even McKinnon to bounce it outside. Do want to talk about one other headline real fast, I think, in terms of Chiefs offense versus Bengals D, and then we'll kind of move over to players to watch and a couple keys that I have for this game. And of course, I think you look at just what kind of pressure the Bengals going to be able to create. You look at Trey Hendrickson this year, a guy that's been able to kind of win, very savvy pass rusher, has the length to get around and bend the corner. I think you look at what he's able to do in terms of not necessarily having the strength, but in his arms and his hands, but still being able to kind of, you know, win and convert speed to power at times. That's going to be really interesting to see him go against Orlando Brown Jr. because, of course, first match of the year against the Bengals, Orlando Brown hurt in warmups, so we did not see him play at all against the Bengals the first time this year. So getting to go up against Trey Hendrickson this time, that's going to be really exciting to watch in the trenches. But I think also looking at how the Bengals have kind of switched up their pressure packages lately, that's been interesting to see. We've seen a lot of times where they'll kind of roll and scrape the defense to one side of the formation. Sometimes overload blitzes have been what they've been liking to do right now in the playoffs. And that's really confused a lot of opposing offensive lines that they've gone up against. And I think you look at just sometimes taking off that pressure or focus of Trey Hendrickson. I mean, it's led to a lot of success for the Cincinnati pass rush. Not that Hendrickson is always needs to have that taken off of him, but I think it's one thing that the Bengals have really given a lot of other guys chances to blitz, whether it's linebackers, defensive backs that we're not always used to seeing. And I think for Cincinnati, it's really just made their defensive front more confident and stronger. So that's going to be interesting to see what kind of different pressure packages are they going to try to throw Patrick Mahomes' way if they do blitz him at all, because we know how good, you know, Mahomes can be against the blitz. But I think that's something to keep in mind just because of the little tricks and the little hints that Cincinnati's thrown out there lately with their pressure packages. So, again, if you guys are listening to this on Friday, earlier today we already had our Friday article come out with final headlines and X factors. So I want to talk about a couple X factors in my mind to keep in mind for this game for both teams. I start with the Chiefs, and that's Juan Thornhill in this game. And it's kind of weird timing because of, you know, the play where he got beat deep last week for Gabriel Davis. Touchdown, I believe it was maybe his second score of the game. Could have been his first. But Juan Thornhill was really put in a tough spot with a crossing receiver going in front of his face, and then Gabriel Davis, you know, beating him deep. Just a perfect perfect throw from Josh Allen. Well-timed there. But I think in terms of just you look at all the focus, I think, in this game, going up against the Bengals receivers, of course, you're going to have a lot of focus of, you know, Charvarius Ward redeeming himself after what happened with Jamar Chase the first time. You look at Legarius Sneed needing a little bit of a bounce back week after last week's divisional round against the Bills. You look at, of course, Rashad Fenton returning to the lineup, also struggled mightily in that first Bengals game with penalties and kind of getting out finessed at the catch point. But I think this is really going to be one of those games, and it looks like Tyrann Mathieu is going to be back and playing. Nothing official yet as of this recording, but after not practicing Wednesday, he was a full participant in Thursday's practice. So all signs kind of lead to Tyrann Mathieu being back, especially just the tweets and posts he's put out there on social media. I mean, it'd be a shock to this point to not see him out there Sunday, but I still think even with Mathieu back, Juan Thornhill, it's going to be interesting to see. Knowing that he can stay over the top, but sometimes it's a little bit shaky. And I think just knowing how deep of a pass catching group this is in Cincinnati, how much they can win vertically, you know, at a relentless pace if they want to. Juan Thornhill is going to be the guy. Can he make a couple of pass breakups in close quarters, or can he, you know, stay patient and jump a route? Sometimes he's had a little bit of late timing, you know, a lot of times his decision-making is not always the most consistent. So Juan Thornhill is going to be an interesting guy to me to watch in this one, staying over the top of the defense, really trying to make the right reads in an offense that has a lot of eye candy. They have a lot of challenging guys to go up against, elusive after the catch as well. So Juan Thornhill is a name for the Chiefs defense that I'm really interested to see how he does. I think for the Bengals, I actually look at tight end CJ Uzama, and it's not just because we just talked about Juan Thornhill, but like I said, I think just how successful he's been making catches in tight spaces. I think you look at the kind of way in which he has a weird mix of being a bigger bodied pass catcher, but he's not necessarily you know, the most physical of route runners or physical at the catch point. He's kind of really deliberate and smooth, able to create a lot more separation just because of his patience as a route runner for as big a body as he is. And he's built a lot of chemistry lately with Joe Burrow. We talked about it on the opponent's side of the 50, but even just as a guy that can break tackles and run after the catch, he's a guy that, again, a lot of focus probably going to be on Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, but this is a guy that really has improved well this season after being in this program for a long time. And ever since Joe Burrow's gotten here, he's been given a greater opportunity once in a while, and he's always kind of ran with this. So C.J. Uzomah, tight end, another name to keep in mind in a deep pass-catching group for Cincinnati. For my other X-Factor players, be sure to check out the final headlines and X-Factor article from Friday. I'll be reposting that this weekend. But yeah, I think that's it kind of for my top players to watch. Talked about some of the top matchups, the top headlines. Like I said, think these two teams are built similarly, but obviously there is still a difference in these two teams' kind of mentality right now. The Chiefs, you know, trying to go back to their third straight Super Bowl. Bengals, you know, the first AFC championship game since 1988. And like I said, you know, on Tuesday's podcast episode, Bengals definitely not a team you want to take lightly. I think the Chiefs know that effect and what happened when you kind of do that a little bit from the first trip against the Bengals this season. But I think this is one of those matchups where it's just you wonder, you know, do the Bengals really know what's coming? And I know a lot of people asked that question last week against Tennessee, but I think a lot of people would agree that Kansas City, you know, what they've been able to do the last 2 years and everything they've done since Patrick Mahomes has become the starter far exceeds what Tennessee's been able to do just in the last year or two with Ryan Tannehill. So it is interesting to see, you know, how the Bengals are going to respond. Joe Burrow not had to play in a lot of hostile environments so far. They have been able to get a lot of big time wins on the road this season. So it's not like this team can't win on the road, but I think you just look at how the tail of the tape is over the last few seasons, the confidence that Kansas City's had, and really just some guys and some units playing the best they have all season. Again, you don't want to look past the Bengals, but like we said on Tuesday's podcast episode, everything just seems to be setting up so well for this Kansas City team. So will Cincinnati be able to handle that storm on Sunday? Again, really excited to watch these two quarterbacks again face off against each other. Two really exciting teams that, you know, a lot of times snake bitten in recent history. So it's always cool to see teams that kind of get back to the top of the mountain or near it. So after many years of watching these teams struggle, it'll be fun to watch them face off in the AFC Championship game. Again, follow us on Twitter at FBC_Chiefs. Follow myself at Braden Holacek 9 with the number 9 at the end. We'll be posting the articles and podcast episodes from this week. Again, this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday on Twitter there. So if you guys missed any of the articles, you guys can go there to check it out. It'd be greatly appreciated. Of course, also follow at Full Press NFL and at FP_coverage for the entire news and notes surrounding the NFL, not just the Kansas City Chiefs during this lead up to the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks. And of course, we got NFL draft coverage already starting for some of the teams on the Full Press Coverage website as well. If you guys are NFL draft fans, of course, Senior Bowl next weekend on February 5th. So that'll be fun to watch some guys that are looking to make their case even greater in the lead up to the NFL draft. But yeah, we'll have more draft coverage next week as well. Even if the Chiefs win and move on to the Super Bowl with kind of that extra week in between games, going to be getting some more of my draft profiles out very soon. So be on the lookout for those next week, along with our Super Bowl coverage if the Chiefs do indeed win on Sunday. And yeah, of course, we'll have more podcast episodes every Tuesday, Friday as well. As long as kind of things stay status quo and on schedule. So be on the lookout for all those. But yeah, at Full Press NFL, at FP_coverage on Twitter. Those are places where you can get news and notes from the entire NFL, not just our Kansas City Chiefs content here. Of course, you guys, we will be back with FPC NFL Sunday morning, YouTube, Facebook, search Full Press Coverage there. You'll be able to check myself out with Ian Glendon, Ricky Keeler, and Kyle Senra. We had a great show last week. It was really fun. It's going to be really interesting to hear what the guys' takes are this week because of just the four teams that are remaining right now. There's a lot of surprises we've seen already. Going to be interesting to see what everyone has to say on Sunday. So I believe it'll be 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central Time. YouTube or Facebook, search Full Press Coverage, and you guys can check us out there. It'd be greatly appreciated. Again, we'll be posting the articles from this week in case you guys missed it, so be on the lookout at @FPC_Chiefs on Twitter. Again, we'll be back with more articles next week, more podcast episodes. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we will see you guys next time.